Good morning, church. Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has called us all, each one, to be here in this place at this time today. Not a single one of us made it here by accident. You didn't wander into the wrong church. You're here because the Holy Spirit said come, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that God gives us these moments to strengthen our faith and to equip us for the tasks ahead. Life is not easy. And in fact, there are times when life seems unimaginably difficult. I can't imagine the pain that goes through so many people's lives. And yet, God is the one who prepares us for the way. I saw a video of a tsunami coming to a bay. And the ships, if they had stayed in the harbor, would have been destroyed. And so what those ships did was they left the harbor, which is usually a safe place, would have been the most dangerous place to be. They left and they went out into the bay so that when the waters came, the ships had turned themselves into the water. So that as the water approached, the ship went into the water like this over that wave. And again, they knew what they were doing. If they'd have been turned sideways, the ship would have capsized. If they'd have stayed in their harbor, the ships would have been pushed into the land and would have caused damage to people within the city. But they knew what they were doing. They were turned so that they could face the waves and overcome them. And that's what church is meant to do. It's meant to orient us in the ways that lead to Jesus Christ, so that no matter what comes our way, we can overcome it. And it may be rough waters, but we make it through because we are oriented toward Jesus. I want you to keep that in mind. That's what we are meant to do, to face the waves, not to remain safe in our harbors where the damage will come and just wipe us out, but to have our eyes fixed on Jesus. I'm going to ask us to go into the scripture today, into the book of Mark once again, the fourth chapter, beginning with the 26th verse. I'll invite you, however you're able in your body, in your spirit, to show reverence to this word, either by standing or showing reverence in your heart for what God has to say to us through these words of Scripture today. Some stories from Jesus. Jesus also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day. Whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come. Again, he said, 'What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on the earth, yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade.' With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his disciples, Jesus explained everything." Jesus is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated, friends. Let's pray together. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit. Use this time, God. It is yours and yours only to strengthen your people who you have gathered in your name this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we may have, if you are familiar with churchy language, you may have heard this parable before, a parable of a mustard seed. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can do all sorts of things, so Jesus says. And in this parable, he talks about the mustard seed being this tiny little seed, and he calls it the smallest of all the seeds. And yet when it grows, it produces an abundance. It produces even a plant that birds can come and make their nests in. This is from a tiny little thing can come this greatness. Now, we have people who like to really break down the scripture and study it really thoroughly. And sometimes they do that for good, and sometimes they do that because they like to cause mischief. And the mustard seed can be one of those, because people will say, Well, you know, the mustard seed, even though it's tiny, it's not exactly the smallest of all seeds. An orchid seed is even smaller than a mustard seed. You know, if you ever look at a strawberry seed is very, very tiny. Maybe Jesus wasn't quite right when he said that the smallest seed. You know, people like to do that, to challenge your faith, to make you question what Jesus is saying. Well, good news. Jesus here is using something that people in his time used all the time, called an idiom, where someone would say, oh, it's as small as a mustard seed. We do it with our own language. Think about this. If you say something is flat as a pancake, someone might say, the pancake is the flattest of all of the pancakes. You think, well, wait a minute. Paper is thinner than a pancake, but we use that term. It's flat as a pancake. Trying to think of another one that's... I had that one ready. I don't know, but... Clear as crystal. You know, sometimes other things are more clear than crystal. These ways that we have of expressing things in language that common folk can understand. It's as flat as a pancake. It's clear as mud. You know, all of these ways to describe things. Well, Jesus here is using one of those. It's as small as a grain of a mustard seed. And the people in that time understood exactly what Jesus was saying. This is something really, really small. But when it grows, it can become something really, really big. Now, we also have this understanding that a modern-day mustard seed doesn't produce trees. In fact, if you plant mustard seeds, you're likely to get something that looks like this, a field that looks like it's full of weeds. But those are mustard seeds that have grown into mustard plants. Now, do you see the vastness of that field? You see how it has just taken over that entire field and up onto the hills? There is, as far as the eye can see, you see nothing but mustard for miles and miles, it seems. Well, I really like this way of looking at this parable just as much as I like the way that Jesus described it as a tree that's a bird could come and make a nest in. Let's look at it both ways. When you do something for someone, when you give them the gospel, you are giving them something that will strengthen them within, so that this tiny little seed that you plant in someone's life can grow into such a thing that becomes this powerful force. We need to have that kind of faith in our lives. Trouble is always coming. And in, like the waves that come in on that in the a tsunami, that trouble's going to come. And when you're prepared, when you know what you're doing to face the difficult times, you'll withstand the waves. You'll overcome the waves because of that strong faith that you have. But I also like this picture because it reminds me that even though we do something tiny and that what we think is insignificant, that one thing that we do can spread like these mustard seeds all over the place. Who knows, the one thing that we do, that small thing that will touch lives all over the place, that will change the culture in the society that we live in. That one moment of kindness, that kind word that we have for someone. Who knows the impact of that kind word? It may spread like these mustard seeds all over the place and really change a lot of people's lives. Or it may be something that builds someone up to such a point that they become stronger and able to withstand the tough times, the difficult circumstances in their lives. We don't know. But last week we talked about the sower. And the sower went out to plant those seeds and didn't care where they landed. He was a crazy sower. He's just throwing seed all over the place and not worrying about where it landed. God will take care of that. That's the kind of faith that we are called to practice. That is the kind of gospel that we are taught to go and to tell others about. not caring about what the results of that will be, knowing that God will take care of that. God will bring in the harvest. But we are called simply to be obedient, simply to be witnesses to what we have seen. God did not call his people to be lawyers. God did not call us to have to break it down step by step. All of the here are the ways that you need to demonstrate your faith. Here are the ways that you need to practice your faith in order to be a faithful Christian. Jesus simply said, be a witness to what you have seen me do and give that witness away. So it may not be up to us to grab somebody off the street, that pagan sinner who does all the things that we know they shouldn't do, to grab them by the scruff, to bring them to church, to drag them in here, to sit them on the pew, and then say, you listen to that preacher until you know who Jesus is. How many of you think that'll work? No one. Oh, come on. You're absolutely right, friends. That is not the way that we do ministry. And thank you for understanding that. It's not that judgmental stereotype that is out there in the world. That's not what we're called to be. We're simply called to be the witnesses that God has made us. So that when somebody is experiencing a difficult time, someone's experiencing a moment of tragedy, we're able to speak words into their life that we have experienced. Sometimes we do that awkwardly. Sometimes we do that clumsily. But know that God will use that so that when somebody's had a difficult circumstance, you can say, you know, I don't understand anything of what you're going through, but I do know this, that even in the midst of this, God still loves you, and God will do something in your life that will make this circumstance into something that reveals God's glory. That will sound crazy to some people, but it's truth. To be able to speak to someone who is lost and has no concept that there is a God in heaven who cares for them, to be able to say simple words that you know, I don't understand how you're living your life. It's not the way I would live, but I do know this, that God loves you, that God is calling you to a way of life that will reveal God's glory in a way that you could never imagine. And just to speak those words, why are we so timid? It's because we have so conditioned ourselves to think that we have to have all the right answers, that we have to be able to have all of the perfect step-by-step plan for how to lead somebody to Jesus in our minds. Friends, it's simply a matter of being a loving person in the midst of that circumstance. To walk with somebody through the dark times. And to teach them how to orient their life to face the rough waves that come through that tsunami. To teach them about Jesus in ways that aren't, I'm going to tell you all about Jesus right now, but let me show you, let me witness to you what Jesus has done for me. I was once a sinner, and I still do sin, but through Jesus, I have peace in my heart because I've been forgiven. I know that God loves me, and as unlovable as I am, God keeps on loving me and doesn't let me go. Do you think that's a message that the world needs to hear today? That we serve a God who is not tied into our politics, who's not tied into the idea that if I'm right, everyone else has to be wrong. That the idea that if you don't agree with me in all of my politics, then not only do I hate you, but I will work my hardest to defeat you. What would it look like if instead of that, we were simply ministering by witnessing to what we've seen? I've seen in my own heart that I look at people who don't agree with my politics and say, you crazy people, what's wrong with you? That's me personally. I have those feelings in my heart. But through the love of Jesus Christ, I've come to realize that there will always be people who will disagree with me. Always. And I'm not called to love them any less. I'm called to love them even more, even through my disagreements. We have so many ways of piling on to people nowadays, of adding to their burdens with our social media, with our words that will just push them further away from Jesus. What would it look like if we simply sowed a seed of love into that person's life who we disagree with? Would it look something like this field that is so full of mustard that you can't see anything but mustard as far as you can see? What would it look like if this was the way we spread the gospel? That we simply told people, Jesus has a better way of living than we do. And he wants to give that to you absolutely for no other reason than he loves you. What would that make this world look like? I think it would resemble this. It would change the world. And it's not up to us to make this happen. Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, will water that seed. Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, will make that faith grow in someone else. That's not our calling. Our calling is to witness of the good things that Jesus has done. So I hope that eases your mind. I hope that relieves a burden that you may feel, that when someone just doesn't seem to be going the right way, when someone seems like they are falling further and further into sin, it's not your job to save them. Jesus will save them. It's simply your job to sow some seeds, to spread those seeds of truth and to orient, help them to orient their ship on the right way, to sow the seeds. And God, through the Holy Spirit, will provide that harvest. God loves you, and so do I. Amen.